If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. A lot of people, I think, who follow me on social media and stuff would realize that, remember that a couple weeks ago I went to the Manitoba Loud Music Awards. I was nominated in the podcast category, didn't win. That's a whole other story. But one of the good things about going to that show was, first of all, seeing Voivod, but also seeing a bunch of local bands that were playing at the event. And so some of them I heard before, some of them I'd seen live before. One of them I hadn't. And so I connected with a couple members of this band to talk to me about the band, because it's a new one for me, and I really enjoyed the set. So I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about the band.
Avery, do you want to go first?
Sure, yeah. We started, what is it, got to be pushing just about 3 years now, I think. Close just over 3 years.
Four.
Oh, man. At that time, soupy of the pandemic is still... Ruben and I, the bassist, had played in a couple bands before over the years, and we've both known Rachel through different circles and friends, and he just called me up one day, a few months before the first lockdown, wanted to get a new project going, and had this person who was gonna sing for us, who I'd known as an acquaintance, but had no idea she had the pipes on her that she does. And from that first jam, it's just been rolling smoothly ever since.
Cool. So that's, I was going to ask about that, because the pandemic has screwed up so many people's bands, and I've talked to a lot of people on this show who have, they started bands right around the time the pandemic started, and it just messed everything up in terms of obviously being able to get together to rehearse, to record, no shows mm-hmm. happening. So I guess you're right in the thick of that with when you started your band.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. It definitely wasn't something we imagined seeing on the horizon, and but we managed to survive. We were a smaller group. We were a three-piece for a while we were still sorting, or a four-piece while we were still okay. Kind of sorting things out. So it wasn't too hard during the first lockdown to keep, or not the first, I think it was the second one, they started allowing those bubbles with other households. It wasn't too hard to have us cross over and still maintain that safetiness or that bubble we were looking for, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I was like, just to kind of second what Avery was saying. Yeah, like we started in January of 2020, and it was, also I'm Rachel Sans Regret. Oh. but Avery, you also have to introduce yourself.
Oh, did I miss that too? I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm Avery
you were
Petrowski.
Introduced. Rachel introduced you. And then sort of, yeah. So yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, all good. So, Ave, sorry, do you mind if I just go into a little bit about
we started? Go for it, Rich.
Sweet. Right on. I'm Rachel, and I have the pleasure of playing in our band Sans Regret with the lovely Avery Petrowski, who's here with me today, and is just a phenomenal guitarist as well as human being. And so, yeah, we started January of 2020, dark times, I'll say, at that point. First lockdown was starting to happen. I was living in an attic in Wolseley somewhere and was like, what do we do during this? Like, what the hell are we going to do? And so I reached out to Ruben, and I asked him to reach out to Avery as well. And so we started talking about playing something that, like a sound that we wanted to be we wanted to be different, and we weren't exactly sure what the sound was going to be, but we knew what the message was going to be, you know. And just like Avery, myself, and Ruben from the band too, like we're all of Métis ancestry. And so when we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about with our band, and especially during the dark times of the early pandemic there, like the ability for those who are marginalized and discriminated against, you know, and downtrodden to be able to rise, like for people to connect and, you know, really, really started to think about, you know, the idea of, I'll quote Tom Morello here because he's really fucking awesome, which is that music is resistance in action. And so I think that, you know, during a time collective for a lot of people, that's kind of, yeah, we started thinking about that. So anyways,
yeah, I think that I've heard, I'm not sure who said it originally, but the idea that when people are struggling, and when there's shitty things happening in the world, a lot of the best art is made then, because people have something important to say. They have something that they need to get out. It's not just, oh, I'm talking about this thing that happened to me on my weekend. It's more kind of urgent, right?
Yeah, it's truly like that. I don't know, sometimes I see it as like something getting forged, you know what I mean? Like you have like a big fire, and you've got some hard, nasty rocks, and you just, like, you know, through whatever format of alchemy of creativity, melt them down, right? And create something different that hopefully helps, you know, yourself as well as other people around you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so with Witch Police too there, man. So kudos to you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I've been doing this for a long time. I can't stop now. It's too far into it. I was going to say, though, also, like, that the idea of having something to say, and heavy music and fast music, loud music, that all goes together really well. I mean, there's a reason that punk rock and metal and hardcore and all of these sort of subgenres, and even hip hop, I mean, aggressive music has a way to deliver that kind of message, right? A message of resistance it definitely works with folk music, but there's something about sort of being able to scream what you're feeling and what you want to say, rather than just sort of quietly put it out there.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think there's actually, like, I'll ask Avery to speak to this too, but when I think about, like, art influences, you know, so like the Stooges, Babes in Toyland, Sepultura, you know, like Nirvana, that type of thing, like it's music where there's a point where people become unleashed, and that's appealing.
Yeah,
I think terms of that release and actually getting that, because yeah, I mean, you can have folk songs that are about, you know, amazing resistance, but it has a different effect than, oh, sorry, we have a guest.
Right,
this
on
is a little, as well as our other guitar player.
Hello.
Hey,
my love on mic. Yeah, so yeah,
cool. Is he coming to join us or
no?
All right, that's cool. No worries. We got two of you. It's good. It's good. So yeah, I guess, like, everyone hates this question, and I kind of hate asking it because it's tricky, especially now when there's so many different sort of ways to describe music. But what do you call the style you do? Because I mean, like you mentioned, those bands, there's elements of hardcore. Clearly, there's elements of metal. I mean, the Sepultura thing makes sense. There's sort of just like sort of straight ahead hard rock things going on. There's a lot, right? So how do you define it? Do you have a way to sort of quick Cole's Notes version explain what you do?
It's a great
question. we've been trying to narrow that down for a while now.
Yeah.
And going back and forth between the best way to describe it. And I suppose Rachel can correct me if I'm misremembering this, but I think in the last jam, last time we were talking about it, we settled on, was it stoner punk?
It was stoner. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, that has the stoner metal side of things, which is kind of that slow, sludgy, doomy sort of vibe, and then the punk has the aggression and the speed, and yeah, cool.
Well, when I think about, like, you know, what we were trying to create, because, you know, and again, initially, you know, we were doing some covers, and we were covering Stooges and Nirvana and different bands, but when we were thinking about what we wanted to do, and it was that, like, blending of styles. Like there is some stuff that's just like straight up kind of, you know, hard rock, but really that, like, but then but also as you were saying, you know, the ability to get across a specific message using aggressive music.
Yeah.
And where the shit like Sepultura comes in, cool. and that kind of like where you actually, you know, you want to drive it home. And yeah, like I think about growing up listening to like, you know, Metallica and Soundgarden. When I think about that sludge, that deep, like, you know, like the stuff off Super Unknown, and then going to see guys like Malfaction, and I was like, okay, how do we make this soup, right?
Yeah. I mean, those are all definitely reference points that I had growing up too, for sure. Like I was listening to, I mean, Soundgarden was huge for me. I have a whole pile of Malfaction 7 inches. Like I get it. I think that's what I liked about what you guys were doing, because a lot of the reference points that you mentioned here make sense. It's the light bulb goes off. You know, with that sort of the stoner punk thing and the difficulty of pinpointing a genre on what you do, have you figured out sort of where you fit in with the local scene? Because there's so many like subgroups and cliques and all this crap. Do you have sort of is there a lane where your band sort of fits within the local music scene? Have you figured that? Have you found your people yet?
I like that. That's how we describe. Good question. So it's, and I'll ask Avery to speak to this one as well, but we were kind of thinking about that because, you know, we played a metal, we opened for a couple of touring metal bands at the Park Theater. This was about 4 or 5 months ago already. And they were, they were really great, but it was definitely like, they were like hardcore thrashy, like metal, right? Yeah. And we've also played with like bands that are punk. We've played with bands that almost lean a little bit towards ska, like previously. And so for us, where we fit, frankly, I kind of like the idea of not necessarily fitting into one specific place. And like stoner punk, yes, but with a shitload of rage behind it, I gotta say. Like that would probably describe it, you know, like we're, yeah, there's the stoner punk elements, but we're pissed off enough to, you know, get off the couch and put down the Doritos, right? So yeah. But Avery, I'll ask your thoughts on that.
We're getting closer. We've certainly played a lot of shows where we kind of stand out like a sore thumb on the bill, and I don't think that's a bad thing. The bands we've played with are great, but there is quite the palette, maybe that's the word, in Winnipeg right now, or at least in the last 4 years that we've experienced since the scene's been coming back and slowly rebuilding itself. It feels kind of scattershotted right now, but I think we're having more and more luck as more and more bands come back, finding people we fit better throughout the evening with. And that's, again, by no means a complaint with anyone we played with. It's been a blast. But there has been some times where I've really felt like the odd band out sound-wise.
I guess that nebulousness, though, like the ability to fit in with punk bands and with metal bands and with hardcore bands and with all of these, like, I mean, this is a good thing, right? In the sense that you are opening mm-hmm. yourselves up to a much wider set of audiences than if you were just, say, playing straight up thrash or something, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. And like when I think about, you know, like some of the lyrics and some of the content and stuff that, you know, that we're doing and where does it fit? Like, you know, like we have lyrics that are like, you know, fuck society's lack and, you know, all kinds of things about, basically just, you know, being fed up with governmental systems and, you know, the idea of, you know, even at a municipal level, you know, the injustices that people face on a daily basis. And so that's like, yeah, you know, it's pretty punk. It's, but there's, I don't know. I think it's kind of, the songs that we develop, they just kind of, just sort of fits, comes together, and it conveys what we're trying to convey. So, yeah. But I will say, though, that some of the shows that we've played at different venues like the Park and the Bulldog and such, I do think it's kind of encouraging that there's a diverse array of bands that will play sometimes. So you get a little
very encouraging
of different styles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and then it helps. It's always nice to see shows like that where it's just completely random. It looks like they put a bunch of bands in a hat and pulled them out. Because I think I find that, like, I don't go to shows as much as I used to since the pandemic, for sure, at least. But I find that when you have a show where all the bands sound the same, it can be great if you like that stuff, but it's kind of like, you know, you want someone to change it up partway through, at least.
Oh, I used to go to 3-hour grind metal shows, like I, and so amazing. But it's nice when you like, you switch it up and maybe it'd be like a grind band. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. So what is what's the songwriting process for you guys? Are there main songwriters in the band, or a main songwriter, or is it spread out evenly among you?
Well, Rachel takes care of the lyrics. Those are all hers. As far as the rest of the music, it's usually a process that happens at jam, or someone like Mike or Ruben shows up with a riff they've been playing around with, and then we mess around with it for a bit. And as we're putting down the sonic landscape, as I like to say, Rachel hangs out in the room drinking it all in and starts to work her magic.
Thanks, Saves. I think that's a pretty good way to put it. Like, kind of how we started doing it was, as Avery was saying, like Mike or Ruben or Avery will come in, you know, have a riff or have an idea or something to work on, and then I like to sit on the floor while they play and just kind of listen. And sometimes, because I used to write poetry back in the day before putting songs to music, and so sometimes I'll have an idea for like something poetic and then see what fits with what everybody else brings to the group. So yeah.
Cool.
So it's are you always writing the lyrics sort of after hearing what they're doing, or are there some songs where you sort of have it already completely pre-written and then you bring it there and then they just sort of create the music for it?
It's usually like so there's been times where I'll have like a poem I've written about something, and we don't have, say, like new instrumentals yet, but I'll be like, ah, I'll keep that in my notebook and I'll keep it on the back burner. And then if something comes where it seems like that fits, then I'll kind of transfer either, like, usually it's pieces of what I've written to those instrumentals. And then you kind of fill in what makes sense as the two start to amalgamate, right, in the natural process. But yeah, I would say though, sometimes there has been, you know, times where I've got nothing written down and guys just start jamming and stuff comes, like you feel things, right?
Sure.
And so like we know the messages that we want to send, you know, again, about like music being resistance in action and about the injustices facing, you know, all people, like as the injustices facing Indigenous people, as that is, you know, many of us come from an Indigenous background. And so, and also just Winnipeg in general, you know how many freaking songs you can write about Main Street? Like, good. And so, so I guess to, you know, long story long, it's kind of go either way, either lyrics or music before lyrics.
Makes sense. You know, I wasn't going to ask you this, but because you just mentioned the idea of writing songs about Winnipeg, and you're right, there's countless, I mean, a never-ending amount of songs about the city or parts of the city or things about the city, but I used to ask people this all the time, and I stopped because I kept getting the same answers, but do you have, what is your perception of what Winnipeg's sound is as a city? Like, I mean, I know there's a lot of different genres that sort of thrive here, but do you think that Winnipeg has something, is there something about a song in any style that would make you realize, lyrics aside, that it's from Winnipeg? Like, is there a vibe? Because some people think there is, some don't. I'm always just kind of curious what...
Question. Okay,
I feel like there is. I'm just going to need a minute to try and put that into words.
I've been trying for like a decade on the show to figure it out. I don't know what it is, but there is something, yeah.
I think it depends on the time, though, because Winnipeg seems to, every couple of years, completely change what scenes are big. Because, I mean, if you look at, like, 90s and that, it's like anything at the Albert.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like all the hardcore bands like Reality's End and the Umpires and whatever, you could hear a lot of those bands and kind of pick. It's like, those are Albert bands.
Totally.
And later you'd have, like, the Horribles and the Squareheads.
Mm-hmm.
It was like really dirty rock and roll, and then it was like ska for a long time. So I think it depends when the time is, but at that time you can kind of hear it.
Yeah,
agreed that at the, like, and it transferring from like dirty rock to ska to there being, you know, a wicked blues scene, and so like the amount of different genres in Winnipeg. But when you talk about the sound too, like, is there something almost that sort of crosses those? Right?
Yeah, is there,
like,
a through line that goes, like, that goes from folk to metal to ska to everything
else? I want to say hopeful perseverance.
Rod? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And I was going to say raw aggression. Like,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said about perseverance there, though, Aves.
Hopeful perseverance.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that has come up a lot on this show when talking about this thing is the idea that Winnipeg audiences, regardless of what kind of music you're playing, have a very high bullshit detector. Like, people know when you're being fake. People want to hear something that's authentic, whatever it is, whether it's a blues band,
yeah,
whether it's someone rapping, whether it's a metal band. I think that people can, maybe more than other cities, maybe not, but there definitely seems to be a vibe here that people won't put up with something fake. Or they will to a point, and then they'll realize it and back away from it.
I think, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Ace.
I think that comes from being a real working class city, and like we've never really been a boom or bust. Always just kind of riding just above zero, and we don't have time for the bullshit.
There's absolutely that. I agree for sure, but I also think too, like, we have such a saturation of amazing music in the city. You know, it's like our restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Like, real. Yeah. 14 places to get it. You can be picky about blues because there's going to be something pretty cool going on a few different places. And that was one thing during the pandemic, actually, especially, like, it really fucked me up. Like, not being able to, like, I used to work at this place, the Bella Vista.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a blues jam every Wednesday. And it was like wonderful, you know, just this cozy little place and everyone would get together and like, you know, big Dave McLean and different Tim Butler, amazing local guitarist. And anyway, so it was, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's, that goes back to the idea of songs about Winnipeg, because I mean, just mentioning the Bella Vista, Scott Nolan has a great song about the Bella Vista, and he used to play there all the time too. Yeah. And there's definitely that weird connection going through everyone. I mean, he plays very different music from what you do, but there's certainly that kind of Winnipeg through line between his stuff and your stuff and everyone else's, for sure.
Absolutely. And yeah, Scott, he was the only male waiter at the Bella Vista ever.
That's pretty cool. I'll have to ask him about that next time we talk to him. But I was going to say, what is sort of in the works for you now? I mean, obviously, thankfully, we've gotten through the pandemic stuff. So for the past little while, you've been able to play shows, you've been able to get together, rehearse, record, whatever. What's sort of coming next in the relatively near future for the band?
Well, if I can say, so we've been working on some recording. We right now, we only have one song recorded, I think, to the sort of point of like, you know, clarity and like precision that we would like. But, I think recording for us, writing, definitely, we have been playing a fair bit. So, we've been talking about, you know, making sure that we're balancing, playing with, you know, having enough time to be creative. So, I would say, yeah, writing, recording, and then maybe when we get real big one day, we'll like get Gandhi or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah, cool. The good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it, you know, like a year or two from now. So, what's the best way to find out what you're up to as far as upcoming shows and things like that? Because, you know, depending when someone hears this, you could have a lot going on. You could have big shows like that. You could have recordings out. Whatever, right? So what's the best way to track you down on social media or anywhere else?
We have
probably, yeah, go yeah. Ahead. The
Oh, did you?
All right. So my guess would be the best bet would be either the Instagram or the Facebook account.
Okay.
None of us are really super social media present or, it's something we're working on as a band, but I believe it's Sans Regret 204.
Sans Regret 204.
Oh, wait, yeah, yeah, I meant Instagram, not Twitter. I know nothing of these.
So it's Instagram and Facebook, both handles should be Sans Regret 204, and hopefully we'll be improving that in the next couple of months as well.
Cool, and I'll link to those in the show notes so people can find that pretty easily when they check out the episode.
Thank you.
For the, you know, recent future, but upcoming near future, do you have any shows or anything happening within the next month or so that you want to plug?
Sure. We got a show coming up at the end of October here. 26th. The 26th in Club Happenings, is it?
Oh, yep. Cool. Okay.
26th, Club Happenings. I think we're all, actually, I don't know what time we're at.
Here we go. Doors at 8, show at 8:30, cover is $10. It's called Drag Me to the Punk Show, and we'll be sharing the stage with Fuck Off, the Whatever Men, Chucky Cheapskate, and there'll be some drag performance as well, including Purple Haze, Carla Manji, Ted Fox, and Nyla Ganda.
Awesome.
And it's a fundraiser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, and a costume contest.
Oh, there are two.
What is the fundraiser for? What are they raising funds for?
It's for PFLAG. It's for PFLAG youth. Essentially, Avery, can you say what it says on the poster? Do you have it?
The poster I have in front of me does not have the PFLAG info, but I can bring that up real quick.
Well, basically, it's a fundraiser for LGBTQIAS+ youth.
Okay.
And so that's kind of why it's the Drag Me to the Punk Show, because it's being supportive of the LGBTQIAS+ community. And wanting to
the PFLAG Canada network provides peer support, education, and advocacy for a Canada that affirms and respects all values that affirms, respects, and values all sexualities, genders, and gender expressions.
That seems in line with your values as a band too. I mean, talking about sort of the resistance and then dealing with shitty things in the world, and that setting up for those
Absolutely.
Kids totally seems to fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, too, that's the new old cavern under the old.
Cool. Awesome.
But yeah, it definitely aligns. I mean, we believe in, you know, again, for people who are getting the shit end of the stick to, you know, firmly believe in their own ability to rise up and to be able to, you know, live in a way that is good and unique and correlates with their values, right?